Welcome to Uncle Mikey's Storytime. Let's start the show.
Hey guys, and welcome to Uncle Mikey's Storytime. I am your host, Uncle Mikey, and I am so excited on this Tuesday to be here talking to you. It has been too long since we told a story. And that's actually the first thing that I want to talk about today. I think going forward, what we should do is every Tuesday we should post a new episode of Uncle Mikey's Storytime. That way you know every Tuesday you can count on there being another episode. And another thing that I was thinking, do you remember last week I posted those jokes? Well, I think every Tuesday, along with a new story, I'm also going to give you a countdown of the top three jokes every week. I think it's a fun thing to do, right? I hope you enjoyed it last time. I certainly enjoyed telling them. So new podcast episode every Tuesday, and included in every new podcast, you're going to find three jokes from me. Perfect. Great. What a day. So now that we've got all of that out of the way, I think we can jump into the jokes a little bit. I'll tell them for you now. The number three joke that I heard last week. Why did the cookie go to the hospital? Why did the cookie go to the hospital? Well, it turns out it was because he was feeling a bit crummy. That was a good one. The number two joke I heard, this is actually, I mean, I think any other week this would be the number one joke, but, you know, tough competition this week. What did the volcano say to its mom? What did the volcano say to its mom? I lava you. Boom. Great joke, right? Because lava comes out of volcanoes and it kind of sounds like love, which you do for your mother. You love your mother. All right, guys, I teased it a little bit, but I really do mean it. I think that our number one joke this week is one of the all-time great jokes ever told. I think, honestly, we're talking joke hall of fame for this one, but enough of me. Here's the joke. What's worse than finding a worm in your apple? Tricky one, right? Doesn't even sound like it's a joke, but it is. What is worse than finding a worm in your apple? Finding half a worm in your apple? That's the answer. Finding half a worm in your apple. See, the implication is that you took a bite of the apple and you see half a worm, meaning the other half is in your mouth, so you're eating a worm, which is gross. That would be worse than fun. Yeah, you get it. That is the number one joke of the week. Whew. Well, guys, as I said earlier, I do have a story that I want to tell today, and it's actually one that was requested from one of my listeners, one of my favorite listeners, a good friend of mine, and my younger sister, Emily. It's Cinderella. An absolute classic, a banger, a great story. One of the best stories ever told. Top 10, easy. It's like Moby Dick, Don Quixote, Cinderella, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, Fight Club, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and a couple more. That's my top 10. So Cinderella, who is Cinderella? Cinderella is a young woman. She is very lovely, great personality. People often speak to her kindness. She lives in a kingdom where there is a king and a queen and a prince and presumably a princess. And on a more personal level, she lives with her dad and her stepmom and her two stepsisters. Now, like I said, Cinderella, super lovely girl, both inside and out. Sounds like the kind of person who would be kind of, you know, universally loved by everybody in her life. Well, no, actually, her stepmother and her two stepsisters hate her guts, cannot stand her, keep her out of everything, gossip amongst themselves, typically about her. Why do they treat Cinderella this way? Well, they're super jealous of her. Cinderella is a beautiful person. She is not only gorgeous, but also, you know, has the personality of the equivalent of, like, being hugged by a rainbow. And Cinderella's stepsisters are super ugly, like inside and outside. Like looking at them is the equivalent of getting punched in the stomach to your eyes. So I don't think it's really like a good excuse for their behavior, but obviously if you're such an ugly person, inside and outside, and you are forced to deal with somebody who is both beautiful inside and outside, I think we can understand why they're jealous, at least. We might not sympathize with them, and we hope to never empathize with them, but we can certainly understand them, or at least start to understand them. So like I said, Cinderella's stepsisters are always really rude to her. The only thing that really makes her life tolerable at all is her dad. It's not her stepdad, it's her actual dad, and he's always very protective of her and stood up for her. But one day, he tells her that he needs to go away for a little while on a business trip. He's going to be gone for several months. And she is heartbroken. Like I said, he is the only thing that is protecting her from the awfulness that is her stepsisters and also her stepmom. Now, unfortunately, there's nothing that she can do. She can't stop her dad from going on this trip. And her worst fears are kind of confirmed. The second he leaves, her stepmother pulls her aside and is like, get all your stuff out of your room, move it to the attic. You live in the attic now. You're going to be an attic person. Go to the attic. And her stepmom also tells her that it's now her responsibility to do all of the chores in the house, that the stepsisters weren't going to be responsible for helping at all, and Cinderella had to do it all by herself. This on top of having to live in the attic. So Cinderella, not really knowing what to say or do, just kind of goes along with this. It breaks her heart, don't get me wrong. She thinks this is incredibly unfair, but it's also her stepmom. Her dad loves this woman, and she doesn't want to disappoint her dad. So she just moves all her stuff into the attic and starts doing all of the work around the house. She's such a good person. Anyway, this goes on for a while. Every day, Cinderella gets up. She starts sweeping the floors, cooking breakfast, cooking lunch, cooking dinner, chopping firewood, bringing in firewood, which is the worst. And all that time, nobody's helping her at all. Her stepsisters are literally eating the food and then throwing the food on the floor, knowing that Cinderella's just going to have to clean it up later. And Cinderella's such a good, kind person that she just deals with it. Every day, she puts on a brave face and smiles in her stepsister's face. Then at night, when she goes back up into her room, she cries. She cries because she's, you know, sad. She's got all this work to do. She lives in the attic now. And she cries because she's lonely. Her dad's gone. And none of the people that she lives with are very kind to her at all. She doesn't really have any other friends. The only real friends she has at this point are the mice and the little animals that live around the barn that she's forced to clean up every day. And that's no way to live, being friends with mice. Anyway, sort of happening at the same time in the same town, but unrelated to anything that's going on in Cinderella's life, the young prince, who is the son of the king and queen, has decided that he wants to get married, that he wants to find a bride. So an announcement is made in the town that any of the women who are approaching or of marrying age should go to this ball so that the prince can meet them and he can have his choice of bride. Which kind of sounds awful when you say it that way, but the prince was actually a super great guy. All of the women in the town were kind of in love with him. The dude was handsome. He had a great personality, great sense of humor. Obviously came from money. His parents were king and queen, and even, you know, even the most progressive people of the time could appreciate the stability that, you know, comes with being a member of the royal family. So everybody was really excited about this. Most of all, Cinderella's stepsisters, they were hyped. They ran home after they heard about this and they told their mom straight away. They were like, this is our chance. We're going to get the prince who we love to fall in love with one of us, and then we as a family can move into the castle and be royal and rich and fat and happy. And all of this was music to Cinderella's stepmother's ears. She loved this idea, and she was like, girls, we are going out and we are getting dresses and all that stuff that you need to go to a ball. Purses, shoes. I think you would probably get your hair done for an occasion like this. So they're going hard. Cinderella, meanwhile, is not invited at all. She still has all of her work to do around the house. They don't even think to invite her. She overhears about it. She knows about it. Everybody's talking about it, but of course she, once again, is not included in her wicked stepsister slash stepmother's plans. So stepmother, stepsisters, they all go out. They're spending a ton of money on dresses and all that stuff. Meanwhile, Cinderella's role in all of this is just kind of left to helping them get ready for the ball. She's helping them put on the dresses, doing final touches. Honestly, ask your mom what this kind of stuff is. I don't really know anything about it. What I do know is that eventually Cinderella is just at the end of her ropes and finally works up the courage to ask her stepmom if she's allowed to go to this ball too. You know, it only seems fair that, you know, she gets to go. Everybody's invited. All of the young women are invited. Why shouldn't Cinderella get to go? And there's a moment of quiet. And then all three of them burst out laughing. They're like, Cinderella, this prince is looking for a princess, not a maid. You are not fit to be a princess. You should stick to cleaning up after us. That is what you're good at. Really heartbreaking stuff. I mean, this is really just a taste of how awful these three could be to Cinderella. Well, anyway, Cinderella hears this, and like anybody, she is heartbroken. She runs up into the attic, where again, she is forced to live. And she cries into her pillow. Meanwhile, the stepmother and the stepsisters have gone to the ball and are preparing themselves emotionally for what they are assuming to be the greatest night of one of their lives. So Cinderella's up in her room, obviously incredibly emotional. She is so emotional, I mean, she is almost raw. She is talking out loud even though nobody else is in the room. And she's saying, I wish I had somebody here who cared about me. I wish my parents were here. I wish there was someone to look after me. And just when she said that, I don't know if it was like a magical cue or something like that, but right when she said that, a twirling, spinning cluster of magic dust sort of gathered up around her, and suddenly in front of her was the most beautiful fairy she had ever seen, and she was like, whoa, who are you? And the fairy was like, hey, Cinderella, I am your fairy godmother. I hear you're having some problems. And Cinderella was like, I am having problems, actually. Thank you so much for being here. My stepsisters and my stepmom won't let me go to this ball. And the fairy godmother was like, oh, that's not a problem. You can go to the ball. And Cinderella was kind of taken aback by that. She's not used to people saying things affirmatively to her. She's used to getting a lot of no's, not a lot of yeses. And she's like, well, I can't go like this. I'm all dirty from doing the chores. I don't have a beautiful dress on. And the fairy godmother was like, Cinderella, take a deep breath. I just showed up via magic. I can handle these kind of problems. All I need from you is for you to go grab me a pumpkin and 7 mice. And Cinderella was like, very specific. But that's actually something I can do. We have a small pumpkin patch, and I'm friends with several mice. So she ran off, went to the backyard, picked a big pumpkin, brought it in, placed it down, ran into the barn, talked to her mice friends. She was like, guys, you wouldn't believe what just happened. A magic woman just appeared. She's asking about you guys. Do you mind coming with me? The mice were like, totally. So the mice follow her in. Fairy godmother is like perfect, casts a spell, and then suddenly that pumpkin turns into a beautiful carriage, fit enough to carry a princess, and the mice were turned into horse to carry the carriage. Pretty impressive move on the fairy godmother's part. Cinderella, having witnessed this, and being Cinderella and being just the kindest person, she is like, first of all, thank you so much. This was incredible. I've only ever seen magic this one time, so I am blown away. I couldn't be more sincerely appreciative. I did ask if you could take care of my appearance. And the fairy godmother was like, oh yeah, sorry, of course. And she waved her wand, and then suddenly Cinderella was turned from a dirty attic living chore monger, for lack of a better word, into a well-dressed, clean, sophisticated looking, elegant young woman. And she's got a beautiful dress on, which your mom can describe to you. But more importantly, she has some very fancy glass shoes on. One-of-a-kind glass shoes. You've never seen anything like these before. And Cinderella is on cloud nine right now. She's so appreciative of her fairy godmother for showing up just in the nick of time here. And she is so excited to go to this ball and potentially win the love of the prince who everybody loves. Notice I didn't say anything about her looking forward to taking vengeance on her stepsisters, because that's just not how Cinderella thinks. She is not the type of person who is motivated by revenge, another great quality that she has. So Cinderella is all ready to go to the ball. But before she leaves, her fairy godmother says to her, "You know, Cinderella, I'm so happy to help you out here, but there is just one rule in regards to all of the stuff I just gave you. At midnight tonight, all of it is going to turn back into a pumpkin and mice. And your clothes are going to turn back into your regular clothes, which you had on before." Fair enough, Cinderella thinks, and she heads out to the ball. And when she arrives at the ball, Cinderella is so beautiful that when she enters the main dance floor, everybody stops and stares at her. The DJ who was playing at the time actually messed up when she walked in, so the record kind of scratched, and that was the first time in history that had ever happened. So all eyes are on Cinderella when she's walking into the room here. She's not used to having this much attention. But it's not a surprise. I mean, none of these people had ever seen her before. She had been locked away in the attic for, you know, going on a couple weeks now, and presumably she didn't have much of a social life beforehand. It doesn't seem like she had any friends. Non-mouse friends, anyway. So everybody sees this beautiful young woman, and they're like, "Who is she? We've never seen her before." Least amongst them is the prince, who is just, like, blown away by how beautiful this young woman is. I mean, he had this whole ball, and it's just getting started, but he can already kind of tell that Cinderella might be the one. It's all happening very quickly. Love is like that. So straight away, Cinderella's walked into the ball, and the prince is just zeroed in on her. And they start dancing, and they're having a great time. Prince is a great dancer. Cinderella, turns out, is actually a pretty good dancer. She's only been able to practice with a broomstick up until this point, but she's able to get by, and the prince seems pretty impressed with her moves. And then as the night's going on, you know, they're having a lot of conversations. They're chatting a lot, getting to know each other, and they find out that they have a lot in common. He, too, hates doing chores. And while he doesn't live in an attic, he does live on the top floor, which makes him feel kind of lonely sometimes. Cinderella and this prince are a match made in heaven. Things are going so well. In fact, they're going so well that Cinderella has almost lost track of what time it was. It wasn't until like 11:58 that she looked down at her watch and realized that she was cutting it pretty close. Suddenly it popped into her head what her fairy godmother had told her about midnight and how everything was going to turn back into the pumpkin and the mice. And Cinderella panicked a little bit. She stood up out of nowhere when she realized what time it was, and she started making all of these crazy excuses for why she needed to leave. She said that she thinks that she heard her dog calling her, and she said that she just remembered that she has a fight in the morning that she needs to be ready for. And then she said that, "Oh my goodness, I think I left my hat in the oven." These were all terrible excuses, but Cinderella didn't really have the language to communicate to the prince what was going to happen. She didn't want to ruin the impression that he had of her, that she was a fancy young woman. So I guess she was just trying to cover it up with a bunch of excuses, hoping he would buy one of them. But he didn't buy any of them. He chased after her, actually. So Cinderella is running away as fast as she can, trying to cover up the fact that all of her stuff is transforming back into pumpkins, mice, and dirty clothes. Prince is chasing after her, just trying to get her number or confirmation of mutual feelings, or maybe just a couple extra minutes to maybe get a smooch. I don't really know what his plan was exactly. I don't think he knew what his plan was exactly. Love makes you do irrational things sometimes. So Cinderella is hightailing out of there. Unfortunately, she drops one of her shoes as she's going down the stairs. And the prince, being a lovely person, very similar to Cinderella, stops to pick this up, but at the sacrifice of catching up to Cinderella herself. She's able to get away because he stopped to pick up her shoe. And it was just in the nick of time, too, because just as she gets, you know, away from the castle, like just far enough so nobody can see her, that's when everything turns back into a pumpkin and into the mice, and her clothes are turned back to regular dingy clothes. And she carries the pumpkin and her mice friends back to the house, all the time thinking about how much of an idiot she just made of herself, kicking herself for telling the prince that she had put her hat in the oven and needed to go. So as much fun as she had had at the ball, at this point she's thinking that she's really ruined her chances with the prince and that the whole night was just kind of a waste. And honestly, in the back of her mind at this point, she's thinking that, you know, maybe my stepmom and my stepsisters are right. Maybe I'm not meant for balls. Maybe I am meant to live in an attic and just clean up after other people. All right, we're going to finish this story up in just a minute, but first, a word from our sponsors. This episode of Uncle Mikey's Storytime is brought to you by Adult Teeth. Now, I've got to say, I actually do use Adult Teeth myself, and I'll say it now, they have lasted me longer than my baby teeth ever have. So if quality and longevity is something that you want out of your teeth, then maybe it's time you look into Adult Teeth. Adult Teeth. We're coming. All right, back to the show. So Cinderella spends probably the next 2 weeks of her life just really beating herself up. Really being hard on herself about this whole thing. She's super embarrassed. She thought she had found potential love with the prince, but at this stage, Cinderella's kind of resigned to the fact that even if they saw each other on the street, that he probably wouldn't recognize her because the extent of the wardrobe change that she had done had been so great that even her own stepsisters, when they were at the ball, didn't recognize her. She looked like a completely different person. How's the prince even going to find her at this point, you know? She didn't leave any contact information. He has her name, but how many Cinderellas live in this town? Hundreds? Thousands? And besides, in Cinderella's mind, like, the most likely thing to happen, even if the prince did locate her, is that he would find out that she just lived in an attic and was kind of gross, and he wouldn't want to marry her anyway. So there was no point for her to reach out to him at all. And to make matters worse, as if they're not already really bad for Cinderella, her stepsisters came home from the ball acting like they were both in love with the prince, or more so that the prince was in love with both of them. So they're walking around bragging about how in love the prince is, how they're going to get married to him, really living in this fantasy world where they are destined to be royalty. Meanwhile, Cinderella's like, I was at that ball. The prince didn't talk to you at all. He talked to me that whole night. But she can't say that out loud because then her stepsisters would know that she was there and she'd get in trouble. And right now, as I'm telling the story, it's really just occurring to me how much of a tangled web of lies Cinderella has been telling. I mean, she's still a good person. She's doing this, well, maybe selfishly, but selfishly for the first time in her life. A forgivable kind of selfish. So I don't mean to beat up on Cinderella at all. She has created a web of lies, but in the nicest way possible. Well, anyway, she's bottling all of this up for, you know, weeks going on a month, when suddenly it gets announced to the town that the prince is going to be going door to door looking for his princess. Now, if you'll remember from earlier in the story, while Cinderella was running away, her glass shoe slipped off, and the prince stopped to pick it up. Well, he's been holding on to this thing the whole time, and the feelings that he's having for Cinderella are very real. He met her that night, and he fell in love. So he was going to do whatever it took to find her. So in this specific case, that meant going around to every door in the village, in the kingdom, and asking any young woman to try on a shoe to see if it fit. And if it fit, obviously, that is the woman that he fell in love with. Really smart plan, right? I see no way that this could go wrong. So the prince is going door to door. He is having every young woman that he can find try on this glass shoe, hoping that it'll fit. But it never does. Not quite right anyway. Sometimes it's too big, sometimes it's too small, sometimes it's too long, sometimes it's too short. And those are all of the ways that I can think of that a shoe wouldn't fit. Maybe too tall? Finally, he gets to Cinderella's house, or the house that Cinderella lives in the attic of, and cleans every day, and he knocks on the door. Cinderella's stepmom answers the door because in any house, an adult should always answer the door, obviously. And she welcomes him inside. She says, I have two lovely daughters. They both attended your ball. Could have been either of them. So let's have them both try on the shoe and see if it fits one of them. What she didn't mention was that there was actually a third young woman who lived in this house, Cinderella. And the reason she didn't mention Cinderella was because just moments before the prince had arrived, she had been up in Cinderella's room. And Cinderella had asked her if she would be able to try on the shoe once the prince arrived. And her stepmother legitimately laughed in her face about this. She was like, you have no business trying on this shoe. You are not suitable to be royalty. You were not at this ball, which is a fair point, actually. So there is no chance that you are the princess. In fact, this is such a stupid idea that I am going to lock you in this attic for a while. And that's exactly what she did. She locked Cinderella up in her attic room. She ran downstairs when the door was knocked upon. And, you know, you heard the conversation that I just relayed. She offers up to the prince to have her two daughters try on the shoes, never mentioning that Cinderella is upstairs. And the prince agreed, you know, not necessarily because he felt like this woman could be the mother of the young woman that he fell in love with the other night. More so, he just felt like it was important to do due diligence and check every available option. You know, he didn't want to be put in a situation where somebody could accuse him of not doing everything that he could to find Cinderella. That's love. Doing due diligence. So the stepsisters come into the room and they are doing everything they can to convince this prince that each of them is the woman that he fell in love with the other night. You know, they're like, oh, didn't we have fun the other night, prince? Oh, remember that dance we had, prince? Yo, that conversation we had was the most intimate, prince. I shared all of my secrets with you, prince. But he isn't falling for any of this. So at this stage, he's just kind of being nice about the whole thing. He is getting pretty bummed out, though, because this is basically the last house that he had to check. And if Cinderella, the woman that he's looking for, that he fell in love with at this ball, you know, if she isn't here, then he doesn't know how he's going to find her. So after trying the shoes on to the different stepdaughters, stepsisters, whatever you want to call them, the prince is like, no, you know, sorry, girls, I hope you had a fun time at the ball, but you're definitely not the woman that I fell in love with. And Cinderella's stepmom is flabbergasted. She was sure that it was going to be one of her daughters, and she pleads with the prince to maybe come back a different day. She says their feet look a little bit swollen, so it's no surprise that they don't fit perfectly. You know, maybe they get off of them for a little while, and when he comes back, the shoe will fit better. And the prince, again, has none of this. Meanwhile, while all of this is going on, Cinderella, who is locked in her attic room, she has been having conversations with her mice friends and sort of lamenting to them about how bad she feels about this situation. Her mice friends, being the nice people that they are, nice people attract nice people, obviously, they decide that they're going to sneak under the door and steal the keys from Cinderella's stepmom. And they do it. They bring up the keys, and Cinderella is able to lock the door and let herself out. Just in time, right? Once again, she's saved by timing. She rushes downstairs just before the prince leaves, and she says, why don't I try on the shoe? It was so quiet in that room, you could hear a pin drop. And the prince was like, who's this? And the stepmom was like, I don't know, I think she's our maid. And Cinderella was like, hey, can I try on that shoe? And the prince was like, of course, every woman in this area is supposed to try on the shoe, every woman in the village. So as much as the stepsisters and the stepmom tried to stop her, Cinderella was able to try on the shoe. And guess what? It fit perfectly, because we all know it was her shoe. Well, at this stage, the prince is just beside himself. He had all but given up hope on finding Cinderella at this stage. And honestly, he kind of knew it was her even before she tried on the shoe. She had been nervous the entire time that once he saw her not dressed up so fancy, he wouldn't be able to recognize her. But you know what? Love. Love figured it out. The second he saw her face, even though she didn't look exactly the same, he knew it was her. And all of those feelings came flooding back to him. And he picked her up, and he carried her back to the castle, and they got married, and they became royalty. And the stepsisters and the stepmom, honestly, nobody knows what happened to them. Your guess is as good as mine. And my guess is that they work at the DMV or something like that. And I guess the last loose end that we have to tie up is what happened to Cinderella's dad. Well, do you remember that viral video that came out a long time ago with the guy doing the evolution of dance? That was Cinderella's dad. The end. I think that's got to be the longest story that I ever told. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to it. I really appreciate it. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you had a fun time. And if you have any other requests, you know, don't hesitate to reach out. I'm happy to tell any story anybody wants. Well, guys, have a fantastic rest of the week. Thank you again for tuning in. And don't forget, if your mom said no, just keep on asking. All right, take care.
Thank you for listening. We hope you join us again next time on Uncle Mikey's Storytime.